Dr. Drew. And Mike Catherwood.
It's Dr. Drew. Midday Live with Mike Catherwood.
It is indeed. You can reach us at 800-222-5222. In just a minute, we'll be speaking to our friend Wendy Patrick, theologian, legal analyst. WendyPatrickPhD.com or at WendyPatrickPhD. If you want to find her on Twitter, we're going to talk about the anti-discrimination bills that's stirring controversy at religious institutions and religious schools. And Mike, I think politics are becoming the circus they were during the primary. That's what's happening. It's just returning. It's going back to the mean.
Donald Trump's doing like an 8-month cycle.
Yeah.
6-month.
I just think it's becoming. It's a circus, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Let's go to our friend Wendy Patrick. Wendy, thanks as always for joining us.
Oh, thanks for having me, Dr. Drew.
So, first of all, tell us about this anti-discrimination bill and why it's stirring controversy.
Well, it's really engendering some controversy because up until now, faith-based institutions had an exemption from some of the policies that some of the other public institutions had. And this is basically an attempt to remove those protections, if you will, to eliminate the current religious exemption in California that really completely protected the freedom of California's faith-based colleges and universities. But here's how it protected them, Dr. Drew, and I think there's some confusion about this just kind of reading social media and what people are saying. It basically gives them the freedom to operate in ways that are consistent with their faith-based institutional beliefs, which is not discrimination. That's not one of them. But when you really think about it, some of what's been making news in other portions of the country would come into play here, like transgender bathrooms, like whether you can, you know, mixing male and females in dorm rooms, things like that. Very almost practical ways of life on a college campus would be affected if this were to pass.
I'm sorry. So this is a law that's before a state legislator or the federal government?
Well, this one's in California, okay. So it would affect all the faith-based institutions in California. But, you know, the reason your question is so good is there's been so many instances around the country, this same conversation is being had everywhere. So if somebody just tuning in, we could be talking about something in another state. Everyone's facing the same kinds of issues, really the clash between, you know, nobody wants discrimination, but on the other hand, faith-based institutions are arguing they should have a right to instill conduct policies that are basically followed by faith.
So what's underlying that? Are we sort of tracking a social trend here, or a political trend, where this separation of church and state is thought to have gone too far or something? I mean, what is this?
It's almost both. It's a social trend in that there's definitely people that feel discriminated against, and of course universities often deny why they took action against a certain student. So it's, you know, there are disputes socially. There's also disputes politically, because there are lots of people that believe government should not intrude this far into somebody being able to practice their faith.
Is it part of a rampaging government that's going to tell everybody how to live, and now it just happens to be getting into the religious institutions?
Well, you and I both know that there are some commentators that say that, but I think cooler heads prevail when it comes to viewing this in context. It's part of a larger dialogue, I think, that we're having increasingly often as to where's the balance? How far can government intrude, and some people don't even like that word, how far can government have an influence on the way somebody practices their faith on one hand, and also making sure that no one is discriminated against on the other?
And so how far is this likely to go?
Well, it's going to be up for a vote August the 3rd, so that's Wednesday. But I have to tell you, you know, I've done an awful lot of research on this as well as similar laws. There is so much behind-the-scenes negotiation that we as members of the public never hear about, and that may still be going on here. And both sides really would love to find some middle ground where students would feel safe, that they're not going to be discriminated against, but religious organizations would be able to be faithful to their religious beliefs in instituting whatever campus-based policies they felt were in line with the belief. And the reason that also comes up, Dr. Drew and Mike, a lot lately is there are statements of faith that students have to sign for some organizations and some institutions. educational institutions, for example, that have these statements of faith. As you can imagine, there are some students that say, well, I'm not going to sign that. Those aren't my beliefs. And then the obvious counterargument is, well, there's plenty of other institutions that don't hold these beliefs. So I got to tell you, this may be up for a vote here in California on Wednesday. We'll be on next week talking about it happening in another state. I mean, it's just
if people feel strongly about this, should they be writing or calling their state representatives?
Yeah, you know, if you look online, as far as, you know, good and bad aspects of this bill, there's lots of things you can do, places you can go, places you can click. You know, the social media and the web-based world has made it very easy to voice your beliefs or join a petition, sign a petition. But one of the things that is, I hope your listeners do, is actually read the bill. Because as happens with many other well-intentioned bills, there are narratives that begin to be driven by both sides that don't necessarily reflect what the bill really says. So before anybody forms an opinion, you know, this isn't going to be up to the voters. This is going to go on in the legislature. Nonetheless, it's worth a read in order to see exactly how it's phrased and who it affects.
Let me switch gears on. Mike, can I do that? Do you mind?
I'm going to switch. I encourage it.
Okay, I'm going to switch over because I think this is this. It follows actually somewhat naturally into the whole Trump thing. And what people
everything does, and
what people are responding to in his rhetoric, which no matter how outrageous or how offensive, it seems not to affect the unwavering support of those that do support him. And I'm beginning to believe that a lot of that lack of concern for content is really more the pushback against exactly what this kind of legislation is, which is a government telling people how to live their life, how to speak, how to look, how to walk, how to talk. And how else are you going to push back on that except with someone being completely the opposite?
Yeah, you know, Trump has commented on this kind of legislation frequently. That's one of the ways I think he's trying to gain some of the support of the evangelical base. But another reason and you talk about it, Dr. Drew, in your book, The Mirror Effect, there's this celebrity narcissism aspect of really enjoying being involved in every single debate that we are having as a nation.
Yeah.
he's almost got an opinion on everything. And what his supporters would like to see him do is educate himself as to the merits of both sides before he puts his finger on the scale.
I'm not sure that's true because I've been talking to people. Wendy, that's what you would think. But after talking to people this morning, I'm beginning to realize that they really don't. Their feeling is he's going to put me, my job, my country first. I don't care what he says. Or I'm tired of being told what to do, how to say, how I should be, you know, all the intrusion of government.
It's my problem on both sides. I think that people on the left who dislike Donald Trump tremendously have now created this narrative where Hillary Clinton is a trustworthy and likable person.
But they're supposed to do that. I mean, it's their job.
But it's now getting to the point where we're going into fantasy land where Donald Trump is angry a-hole guy. So therefore, Hillary Clinton is very nice and concerned about Americans' well-being. And in turn, I hate Hillary so much and distrust her and her liberal ways. And four more years of the Obama administration means that Donald Trump is a very competent and solid choice, and neither is true, you know?
Right.
Well, Mike, what's interesting, Mike, about what you and what Dr. Zhu, what you both brought up is you've illustrated very well the difference of opinion sometimes on people that belong to the same political party, because you've got the high-profile Republicans that wish he'd be more well-spoken and articulate and educated, and then you've got the blue-collar Republicans.
Right.
You know, they call Trump the blue-collar billionaire, who basically say, hey, he's going to give me my job back. He's going to bring jobs back to America. I like he's a leader. He's fearless. I'm going to vote for him no matter what he says. In fact, some of them say, because of what he says, we've heard those people on social media as well.
I have sensed the kinds of the affect that I'm reading in people who call that are supporting him and don't care about the problems of what he's saying. He's saying problematic things, which is fundamentally their sort of affective sort of statement. It would be enough is enough. I've had enough.
Yeah,
it's sort of like the movie Network. I've had enough of this, and I'm mad as hell, and I'm
not going to take it anymore.
It's like enough is enough. Therefore, if enough is enough, I want to hear somebody say whatever they feel, they should be allowed to see it, say it, because that's what this country is about, is expression and freedom of expression. And so what if he says things that are offensive? That's the speech we need to protect the most. I sort of getting that kind of rhetoric from supporters. Does that make sense?
Well, I'll tell you, he is not faring well after getting into it over the weekend with the Gold Star family member that spoke over the weekend at the DNC last week. That he's having a hard time digging out from under that, really an outpouring of support. But I got to tell you, he's recovered from worse than this before.
Yeah, that's right. That's exactly right. And I'm watching what's going on even today, and I'm seeing the circus just sort of, putting the tent back up again, and we're putting the rings out, and we're just going on with it. And I will ask you this. I'll ask both you, Wendy, and Mike this. Do you remember the last outrageous things he said when we all said he'll jump the shark and that's the end of it? Can you remember what it was?
There's been so many. I can probably remember the last three, and then they begin to blend together.
Can you remember the last one? And I'm going to predict that this one will fade into the background just as quickly. And this is the crazy thing about our attention span and the news cycle.
Yeah, this one actually brought up some of the old ones because John McCain weighed in, and so of course talking about a war hero.
Yeah.
Now lots of people are like, how could you forget what he said about John McCain? Think to yourself, but
you did. You did. That's the point. That's making my point for me. And so that's the reality of the political landscape we're operating in. I just don't know quite how we got here. It's just so I did not expect this, but here we are, and it's fascinating to me. It's just absolutely fascinating, and I do, Wendy, help me as the legal analyst. Tell me if I am completely off base in saying that I have unlimited faith in our system, and that the American people will make good decisions, and the group tends to make much better decisions than individuals on the average, and we'll get through this too. How about that?
To that, I say amen.
That's why
we use juries and not just judges. I think you're right.
That's the theologian in Wendy coming out. She's always looking on the bright side. All right, Wendy, thank you so much as always. It's Wendy Patrick, PhD, and also at Wendy Patrick, PhD. We'll talk to you soon, Wendy. Take care.
Okay.
Bye. 800-222-5222 is our phone number. It's Midday Live. It's Dr. Drew. It's Mike Catherwood. So, Mike, I'm looking at some an analysis here of morning radio shows, and it turns out morning shows now, some of them around the country, are hiring voice actors and people that specialize in creating storylines for people to call in a day out and create these crazy sort of morning show kinds of themes.
So do they give Phil Henry money for that?
No, not Phil. This is
that's, he's been doing that for 30 years.
I understand, but it's sort of a marked distinction if you're doing it yourself. They're hiring outside people to make it seem like the hosts are interacting.
Well, Big Boy with his phone, like whenever he used to do a big, I don't know if he still does it, but when he was on Power, he used to do a big thing where he would do these prank phone calls.
Wait, Yanira, what's that? Who does it? Big Boy? Yeah, he still does them.
Okay. He does these prank phone calls that are crazy. It's actors. You can't make prank phone calls in California.
Right.
That's how and frankly, I know because I know dudes over Power and stuff. But that's you call someone. It's like, I can't believe I'm looking at your husband cheating on you. Oh my gosh, this is nuts. And it's a prank phone call.
Wow.
But you're calling actors.
Huh.
Listen. I don't know how to say this. There's a reason why
who's Ryan's Roses? Who's that?
Oh, Ryan's Roses. That's another
who's
one.
Who's that?
It's reason for me to take my foot and put it directly in Seacrest's balls.
Oh, it's Ryan Seacrest. Yeah, that's the one they're quoting in this article that Ryan Seacrest does that. They also,
And listen, I have nothing negative to say about Ryan Seacrest. He has always been incredibly nice to me, and he deserves every bit of success he has.
Yep.
He works hard, like crazy hard.
Yep. He makes very difficult jobs look easy.
But one job, he should stay in his lane. He should play Rihanna songs and be everybody's best friend and go, all right, yeah. Because when he starts to do content, quote unquote, stop it.
He does pretty good interviews.
That's what I said. Be everybody's friend. And go, oh, Rihanna, you've never looked prettier.
I thought you meant just back announce.
Bang, bang, bang. All right, here's your new song, Boomty Boom.
I thought you meant just back announce Rihanna, but do the interview.
Yeah, right. You know, I mean, and J-Lo, oh, my God, how do you keep getting better looking and younger? Oh.
You sound like Giggity Giggity. What's his name down the street?
Quagmire.
You sound like Quagmire. 800-222-5222 is the phone number. It's Midday Live. It's Mike Kathwitz, Talk Radio 790 KBSK. KBSK? KBC, it is Man School Monday. Do we need to...
Axl Rose is kind... I hate to say it. He's pretty manly.
Is he?
Shattered his leg.
Yeah.
And...
While he was performing?
I think so.
Yeah.
And he had a nice throne built for himself and just went on tour. Just kept on going. By the way, for AC/DC and Guns N' Roses. Just props his leg up on stage and goes, all right, I'm going to sing some songs.
I heard that he was on a throne. Everyone thought it was weird. I didn't hear why he
He has a giant, big cast. It's not as if he's hiding the fact that shattered his leg. Pretty manly.
That's manly. Man School Monday.
Yeah.
All right. It's 800-222-5222. Let's...
I want to talk to you about, you know, Putin's not going to invade the Ukraine. He's not going to do it. Because you... have been someone who's like been ahead of the curve as far as your interest in that part of the world.
Because I'm Ukrainian.
Right. But also, I think obviously that plays a role.
Yeah.
But you are remarkably sharp as far as like that kind of the foreign policy that goes on.
The history of that. Yeah. Yeah.
And I just want to know, like, there's absolutely no possibility Donald Trump, his excuse for his gaffe, there's no truth to that.
Well,
right?
What gaffe are you talking about?
So many he said to George Stephanopoulos,
yeah,
listen, when I'm president, Putin is not going to be able to invade the Ukraine. And George Stephanopoulos said, pardon me, sir, but he's invaded over 2 years. He's already invaded.
When somebody says something like that, I assume he's talking about the stuff he's amassed on the border with Ukraine. Like they've put in a pretty heavy position in that's made the Ukrainians very uncomfortable. And there are people within the Ukraine that would like to see Russia come on in. So it's not completely without support inside Ukraine. But and Crimea is a totally different thing.
Is there a river in Crimea?
Crimea. But Crimea, historically, it's almost like if Boston got annexed by another country, by Canada or something. We would be like, hey, man, we got to get Boston back. This is ridiculous. Or you know what I mean?
Laker fan.
It has tremendous historical importance to the Russians and pride. And Peter the Great, that was his big sort of area. You know, that's the very genesis of things.
Is it at all concerning that Donald Trump seems to be a big fan of Vladimir Putin?
I don't know. I don't think of anything.
I find that
800-222.
It's a crazy murder.
5222. What do you say? Be right back after this.
Oh. Evolve. Talk Radio 790. KABCC.
Phone number is 800-222-5222. There's a little of your buddy there, Mike. Put your headphones on. Is that from the live show? Yeah. Little.
First off, awesome song. Top 50 greatest rock and roll songs ever. Hell's Bells. Secondly, he sounds pretty damn good.
Yeah.
That is not becoming Brian Johnson. Is not easy. Like, there's a lot of vocalists that you can replicate. Like, Jim, I was singing The Doors to my daughter this morning. It's really easy to be Jim Morrison. it's pretty impossible to replicate, like, Sting, Brian Johnson, someone like that. And I feel like Axl's doing a pretty darn good job.
So, you were saying something about Trump during the break there.
Yeah, I certainly don't support Donald Trump picking on a family that has to deal with their son dying in combat defending our country. Uh-huh. I by no means am like on the Trump train for this.
Yeah.
But this is a very clear example of how he is being railroaded in a way. Because for months now, this mother of a young man who died in Benghazi has been talking about how Hillary Clinton has just completely abused her and mistreated her and neglected her and not kept good on her promises and won't give her any answers as to how her son died.
So, Bernard, why don't we report on that since no one else is? I can at least report that and see what – I don't know what you're talking about.
To be fair, I was reminded of this young lady She spoke at the RNC.
Wait, I mean, I'm confused. I'm confused. Are you talking about the mother of the woman that was standing next to the father of the soldier?
No.
Just another
woman. This is a totally separate man who died.
Okay.
The Khan family is a family that was there to support Hillary Clinton at the DNC.
Yes.
The guy held up the held up the Constitution.
And the wife was there.
Yes. Totally, and because of this family and because of how Donald Trump has commented about them, it's a lot of controversy.
Yeah.
And I get it. What I don't understand is how has a woman whose son died in Benghazi, in Libya, under Hillary Clinton's watch, who has been publicly saying, I've been reaching out to Hillary Clinton and getting nothing but empty promises and abuse for months, that doesn't get any traction.
Huh.
And you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
it's not as if this isn't comparable. Her son died defending the embassy in Benghazi, and she reached.
There must be a big confusing quagmire there or something. You know what I mean? Things that don't make good headlines.
Yeah,
I bet.
Yeah, the Khans are Muslim, and Hillary Clinton used them at the DNC, the progressives get behind it. No, and this lady's a angry white woman, so it's just she gets pushed to the back.
No, but why isn't the Trump camp using her then?
She spoke at the RNC.
Yeah. All right, take a break. 800-222-5222. We'll come back with your calls. It's Band School Monday. It's Mike and Drew. Talk Radio 790 KBC. Time for a little news with Jeff Whittle.
Call us.
Oh, baby. How much you charging for the minute?
Nothing. The call is toll free at 800-222-5222.
Mike, we spend our time doing the craziest stuff.
Yeah.
Huh?
Listening to AC/DC, first off.
Yeah.
And AC/DC is so awesome. Anyway, I was talking to you off the air about duck penis.
Yeah.
Made aware, our friend Brian Callen went on the Joe Rogan Experience, and they were talking about, like, Animal Kingdom wiener.
Yeah.
I was totally unaware of how a duck has, like, pound for pound the biggest wiener in the Animal Kingdom, because it's like, It's like our intestines. It curls up in their body.
It's a corkscrew.
They can unfurl it.
Well, that corkscrew can kind of spring out.
Are you looking at pictures?
Yeah.
It's crazy, right?
Yeah.
It looks like it has an umbilical cord attached.
Esme, save me from Mike. What's your question?
I can't, because the first thing I thought of was that is called a fibroelastic penis.
Oh, see.
It's like the only thing I retained from high school.
See?
Esme.
I knew where to go.
Well, I just wanted to make a comment. You had a caller early, I can't remember his name, but who was saying that his friends in the middle part of the country are way for Trump. And coming from the West Coast and moving to Wisconsin has been kind of really disturbing.
Why?
Because I feel like so many people out here do not realize just how racist they are. And I think that's kind of the biggest problem with Trump's support.
Huh.
Because, I mean, we have friends who are good friends, and according to them, they're not racist. But
Are they racist? Are they racist and don't realize it, or are they just not alert to racist commentary? You know what I mean? Do they say racist things and not understand they're being racist, or are they really racist?
I think it's a little bit of both. Like they really are racist, and they also don't realize that they are.
Mm. How do you miss that? We were talking about
that last week, in that real racism is it's subtle. It's not like this outward, like the guy we were talking about, the video go make me tortillas, Peter. Yeah, like, that's not how real racism exists. That's like, that guy's insane.
Yeah, he's just a bro.
If you're at a all-white country club playing golf and you're a one percenter, like a legit one percenter, you don't it's a subtlety.
No one
goes around talking about how they hate black people or
Of it is privilege, and so lack of understanding. It makes them blind
lack
to certain things.
Yeah.
Is it that, Esme, or is it something more overt?
No, I think it really is just that. And, a good example is that there have been quite a few family gatherings that have devolved into people like myself storming out because we couldn't take it anymore because, like, the racism against black neighborhoods and that sort of thing is, like, they really truly believe that the way they think is right and fact and that privilege doesn't exist. And that kind of stuff. Like, just really, truly believing it, though.
Is it a disdain? I mean, what is it? What is it sort of based in?
I wish I had more insight, but I'm not too racist.
You got it. You got it. Next time, next time they start talking about it, you got to go be a reporter for us. Be a least investigative reporter and start mining it. Like
start.
I will resist my urge to yell and storm out.
Secretly record. Secretly record.
All right. Thanks, Esme. I appreciate it very much.
You
as
live.
Always.
You live.
You live. Let's talk to Lisa before we go to break.
We're launching strikes in Benghazi right now, Libya, right? As
right now?
Yep.
Seriously?
Let's see. Well, no, it was 5 hours ago, LA time. U.S. military begins launching massive airstrikes against Islamic State in Libya.
Interesting. Lisa, go ahead.
Okay. The gal you just had on the line, I don't know who she was, but she made a point about racism. Now, I don't know if you've seen or heard about the movie Hillary's America by Dinesh D'Souza.
I watched the trailer.
Did you?
Yeah.
I've never seen anything about it.
Go see it because you will see how the Democratic Party started. The Democrats are the party of slavery, the KKK, and the mob. Okay, so what happened was in around the 1920s, the Democrats decided that they needed the vote, the minority vote, so they decided, well, let's go ahead and champion them, help them out, get them, you know, to where they need us so that they can vote for us and they can be then dependent on us. So if you seriously, folks, anyone out there, go see that movie because you will really, it will really open your eyes about the Democratic Party. They have from the very beginning been, you know, out for themselves. So
okay.
I'm sorry to say that, but it is the truth, and I hope people open their eyes because it is what it is.
All right, Lisa. Thank you so much. Appreciate the comment.
My only comment to that is, and I'm not discrediting Lisa by any means, is that with a movie like this Clinton movie, you always wonder, well, who's to say that that's fact? You know, it's a film, just like a Michael Moore documentary.
Well,
you know,
but he's a very smart guy, D'Souza, and he has a point of view. That's
right,
for sure.
Right, he has an axe to grind.
He has a point, and he does have, and he has that. But he's historically accurate. But there's a little bit of so what in that. So it evolved from whatever, you know.
Right.
It's. But speaking of more racism, the just crowned Miss Teen USA.
Oh yes.
Uses the N-word in her social media.
Oh, good talk. And I thought for sure it was a black chick. You just showed me a picture.
That's what I thought, too.
That's a big difference.
We're going to take a little break. Midday Live, Dr. Mike Catherine, Talk Radio 790 KBC. Mike, listen. Take a listen.
I'll bring the chips and the dips and root beer.
Do you know the song?
You say Andy from XTC wrote this? That's, you can hear it. It sounds like,
really?
I mean, it has that vibe of it, like almost like an XTC song. But F you, monkeys. No new music from you. Stop it.
Davey's not there anymore. What kind of monkeys is that anyway?
Well, it's just Mickey Dolenz probably, right?
Oh, and Peter and Michael, yeah. 800-222-5222, that's the phone number. Let's go to the calls.
We know Trina Dolenz.
We do
ex-wife.
Know Trina. She's great.
She's awesome, yeah.
She's a therapist. John, go ahead.
Hi.
Hey there.
Am I on?
You're on.
Great. You guys were talking a little bit ago about this fellow, Mr. Khan, that spoke at the DNC.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And just so I'm not missing anything, what is the most offensive thing that Trump said regarding him? Was it that his wife stood there and didn't say anything? Is that the big deal?
No, I think that he immediately went to kind of, I want to say, poking fun at them for their...
All that I'm aware of is that he asked, which was inappropriate, why didn't his wife say anything? Was it because of a Muslim custom?
Yeah.
But the point of my call is, did he call him a liar? I don't think so.
No, he's...
There was a woman that spoke at the RNC. I think her name was Patricia Smith.
Yeah, no, I brought that up. The Benghazi, Benghazi guy's mom.
And she is saying that Hillary Clinton lied to her face. On the tarmac, when they brought the bodies back,
he
told her that the reason he was killed was because of an internet video.
Hillary,
on Fox News Sunday 2 days ago, or yesterday rather, basically said Mrs. Smith is a liar.
And she has repeatedly, Patricia Smith lady has been repeatedly saying that she has been abused by not only Hillary herself and neglected, but by the Clinton staff. I totally agree with you.
Maybe that should be your hour.
You want to be the bias in the media. These are totally equivalent stories. It's much more of a negative story for Hillary that she is literally lying about this and calling this woman a liar to her face.
I agree.
To be fair,
I made the argument last week that more was being made about Donald Trump's comments about Hillary Clinton's emails than the fact that Hillary Clinton exposed thousands of compromised emails.
I would argue, John, and this is with peace and love I say this, that bigotry and racism has become the new moniker to replace communist. And so if you use bigot or racist, you get much more attention. If you, whatever the story attached to that, much the same way for many years, if you said communist, it got lots of attention. Does that make sense to you?
Which proves how bogus the story is even more.
Well, it just is the it's the kind of rhetoric, rhetorical quagmire we are in.
Well,
I don't know why
the question, Drew.
Yeah.
Why did the Khan family get so much more attention than in comparison to Patricia Smith? And I said the Khan family are Muslim. I mean, that's the only real separation.
Here's an interesting thought.
Go ahead.
Did anyone answer Trump's question?
She did.
Mrs. Khan did. She made comments today personally. She said, I'm still too shaken up to talk about my son in private. I couldn't do it in private.
Well, and he also said that Hillary wrote his speech. I think that's what got everything going. But be that as it may, your point is well taken, John. I think the phenomenological structure of what's going on now is bigotry and racism is the moniker, the label with which you can put on somebody and you get a headline and you can get in big trouble. You can lose your job.
It's like the mainstream media has Tourette's and their tick is to shout racism. It's getting
I think it's reflective. It's the time we're in. Does that make sense to anybody? And maybe I don't know. Good thing, bad thing. I'm passing judgment on you
about 6 months ago. I said the biggest problem, number one problem with what we do for a living and social media as a whole is that the value or the substance of your content no longer is as important as the volume. So you don't have to say great things. You just have to say them loudly.
Yeah, but they have to have certain triggers. There are certain triggers right now that are very intense.
Yeah.
They're buttons.
Yeah, and a word that rhymes with trigger.
You're going to take a break? Thank you, John. 800-222-5222. Mike takes
over. Seamlessly goes into Miss Teen USA.
At the top of the hour. But I'll leave that with you. We'll be right back after this.
Let me see if I can guess this song.
Thank you. Yeah. You bet. More music for you, Mike. I can tell the way Steve looks.
I know this song.
No?
That's why
I'm
angry.
It's just nothing.
No, but I know this song.
So what do you want to talk about?
I have this album. Whatever this may be.
Bread?
Is it Bread? No, it's not. Because I don't know Bread.
Who is it? Bryan Adams.
Okay.
What was the other band that was like Bread?
I kept that a secret then.
America? America? Was that band too?
Bread was I Want to Make It With You, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
So Miss USA, new just crowned Miss Teen USA, thinks it's no big deal to use the N-word in her
social
media.
What is wrong with people?
It's so crazy. And she did apologize, so everything's fine. Anyway, it was not a very diverse group this year, which
is weird.
But
what's the context? I want to know. I mean, was she trying to make a political statement?
What do you want to talk about, Yarar?
I want to talk about this this whole Trump and the Khan family controversy because, every couple months I ask the question, is this the breaking point for certain people for Donald Trump? And if this is it for you, if this is the moment when you decided you are definitely not voting for him because of this, I want to know why. And then also, why this moment as opposed to others? And then for people who are always Trump, I want to talk to them too, because is it just because you hate Hillary so much that you're blind to things that he may do?
I think you're going to find it's this enough is enough feeling that people have. I don't know what it is. Maybe you might mine it down a little bit. I think ultimately, if you really checked it out, I mean, really dug into it, I suspect you're going to find sort of economic malaise.
What are we going to
do for the average person?
What are we going to do about this system?
Which one?
Because every 4 years of my life, it boils down to two candidates, a Democratic and a Republican. And there was an independent there with Ross Perot. I was not old enough to vote then.
Okay.
But every 4 years, it's two people, and every 4 years, I hear the same thing. from all of my really educated, sharp friends, whether they're liberal or Democrat or Republican, they say, I'm just voting for the least crappy person. How can we fix that? Because the intention...
What would the best person even look like? What would that look like?
It certainly wouldn't look like Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton. No offense to either.
You know, the crazy reality, though, Mike, is when people start to paint the picture of the perfect president, it looks kind of like Woodrow Wilson. And that didn't work out so well. That wasn't good. You know what I mean? It starts, you want an intellectual, you want a leader, you want somebody who's run a big institution before, and not so great.
I'm not trying to say that I have all the answers. I want to know what is the answer, because we can't do this.
Okay, 800-222-5222. That's the number to call, Mike. Get into it. Give us your opinion. It's Midday Live. Dr. Drew, again, Mike Cathwood, Talk Radio 790.
There's that boy. What do you think that is? ALS?
A, B, C. I'll have to look at it more carefully. Okay. Time for a news break with Jeff Whittle.